Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle ready-to-drink coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Virtually every mass shooting, every circumstance where a large number of people have been victimized and lost, I spoke to them. I learned a long time ago what you've all learned in your life. When someone's going through something that is beyond their comprehension, that they never thought they'd ever go through, if they see someone who they think understands or maybe they took something not the same but similar, it gives them some sense of hope. And I always get criticized sometimes when my staff, because when I go to these events, I stay for 3 or 4 hours and answer all their questions. But it matters. It matters a lot. And look, I'm talking, some of you have gone through a hell of a lot more than I've gone through, and a lot more than other people have gone through, and you understand. So it's just people are looking for just something to grab, something that gives them some sense of hope.
I mean, I get that travel is difficult like that, but good grief. That's Biden. He just sounds horrible. He sounds awful. I mean, it's terrifying. It's like beyond parody at this point. He sounds absolutely horrible. And I was watching this because he sounded bad in his speech that he gave when he went over to Israel because he got canceled, you know, everywhere else. Everybody else dropped on him because it's just a mess. And he just looks like an absolute mess. Welcome to the show, Dana Lash here with you. A lot of stuff, a little developments per usual that we'll hit on today. But the video that came out, this was the stuff that came out after we had adjourned yesterday from the radio program. And it's bad. They're just, I mean, the whole shoot straight thing, what's that about? So welcome to the show, Dana Lash here. You can listen around the country, the nationally syndicated radio show. You can sign up for the newsletter over at Substack. The prep on that went out this morning. There's other stuff that's coming out today. I still can't, that video though, it's bad. It is so bad. I made the remark on social media. I'm like, this is just, I think, a measure of how desperate the Democrats are to keep power, how desperate they are to keep power, the pictures, golly, the pictures look so bad. I mean, you haven't even seen, oh my gosh, the pictures just look so bad. And the other thing that I saw, it's not just Biden who's totally incompetent. The White House media team, they sent out a photo last night. They did not blur or censor the faces of any of their special operators, active duty special operators. They tweeted it out because Biden was pictured shaking hands with these first responders, and the spec ops team. Biden was shaking hands with them. They had not obscured a single one of their faces. That is standard operating procedure. When I saw this, my first thing I said out loud, holy redacted. That is unbelievable to me. It's technically their, I think it was their Delta Force spec op, their team. Yeah. And then they deleted it an hour after hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people had already viewed it. So they sent out that photo without censoring a single thing. On, they put it on Instagram and Twitter. They put it out there without censoring anything. And then they deleted it only after. They had to hurry up and get a picture of Biden out there. Oh my gosh. Get a picture of him out there. It's unbelievable. So it's, you have a stupid jackwagon is what you got. And I, you know, I don't feel bad for Biden and the elder abuse. I don't feel bad that he can barely function. You know why? Because he had every opportunity to say no. This guy's ambition exceeded his sense, has always exceeded his sense. Same thing with Democrats. They're so damn desperate to hold on to power that they would literally put this cheesehead in there as a place marker. And that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what this is. It looked so bad yesterday, guys. How the hell is he going to talk tonight? He's got to get some Hunter's cocaine. I don't know what else. It is so bad looking. Well, I'm not suggesting that Hamas deliberately did it. They got to learn how to shoot straight. Wow. Just unbelievable. He meandered everywhere. Even the staff. Did you see the memes of Anthony Blinken? Yesterday in the background, he looked legit terrified. Like, this is our guy. This is the president of the United. He literally looked terrified. It is so bad. And then they were asking him, you know, because as the press does, they were asking him some questions, you know, when they were there on Air Force One, and he couldn't answer a single thing. He's like, well, you know, audio send by two. Well, yeah, we're gonna be, I'm gonna make sense of this.
What about getting people out?
The answer is we're going to get people out, but I'm not going to go into any detail with you now.
All right, we got to wrap up, guys.
Got to wrap it up. We got to hurry up. You had your 5 seconds asking questions. We got to wrap it up. We got to wrap it up. Got to wrap it up. He's got to go drink his Ensure. I mean, they made this a Visiting Angels plane. That's what it is. This wasn't Air Force One. It was Visiting Angels. It was. I don't feel bad for him. I do not have any sympathy for him at all. Screw him, because he put himself in this position. This power-hungry old dude. He put himself in this position. This walking sunspot. Put himself in this position. I don't feel bad for him. And you're not going to make me feel bad for him, because I'm not. I'm just not. I do feel bad for some of the people that have followed me on social media lately, though. Because I get into these moods when there's too much stupidity, and I have zero patience and zero tolerance, and I will go from zero to I'm going to kick your neck off your head in like 0.5 seconds. And these are very clarifying times, and I am shocked at the number of people that I am seeing that would have been totally fine with loading people onto train cars back in the day. And I feel that's exactly what it's like. And if they don't like it, maybe they shouldn't be like that. Maybe they shouldn't be like that. I was saying some of this last night while people were still struggling. I'm not even going to start right on this segment on the House race, because I hate everybody. You thought yesterday was bad. Today is even dumber. And by the way, I tripled down on what I said. Matt Gaetz is the Leroy Jenkins of the Republican Party. I don't care if you like what he does. I don't care. Have a strategy. Otherwise, no one gives a rat's ass if you do good stuff. No one cares. If you're for conservative economic principles, if you have no strategy when you go in to do something, separate the two. You have these idiot Republicans in the House right now. We can't figure out a speaker. Oh my goodness. What are we going to do? Oh, I can't even. I'm telling you guys, Kane's going to have to come. And he and the Holy Spirit are going to have to team up and put a hand over my mouth at some point in the show, man. I cannot. Third round, guys. Third round. Well, I don't know. I just don't know if I like Jim Jordan, even though I was campaigning with him just literally a couple of weeks ago. Well, I just don't know if I like Jim Jordan no more. You know, it's what it's like. That's exactly what it's like. Man alive. So we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about some of that stuff. They got Georgetown University now. They're pro. I think there's no gray area for me. No gray area for me. This is the consequence of war. I had people get me, I can't believe you just want to go in and like, right? No, I don't want to go in. Nobody wanted that. Hamas wanted that. I'm going to reiterate, they were elected and they enjoyed high approval ratings. Maybe they don't anymore now that they refused to let some of their people leave and they were seen on satellite erecting roadblocks and stopping citizens from leaving. So maybe they're not going to enjoy a high approval rating after this. But literally up until just, you know, recent times, they were pretty well approved of for a segment of the population over there in the Levant that actually thought Sharia law was great and that suicide bombing was a legitimate, you know, there was a legitimate profession. No, I'm not making this up. I mean, don't get mad at the messenger here. Get mad at the people who told the surveyors this, and then the surveyors wrote it up and put it into piece under Pew, and they decided to, and they published it. That's just the way it is. It's Hamas chose this. I saw this thing. They had protesters now at Georgetown. They're saying that the school president is causing violence because they don't tell us the words we want to hear. Oh, get over it. There's no gray area for me. Again, these are clarifying times. And this is why war sucks. It's why war is bad, because you will have innocents caught up in it. But at the same time, is it worse to allow people to continue down a terroristic path and cause more and more deaths, mostly of their own people, too, by the way? Don't forget, Hamas has killed more Gazans than Israel has. I know that's a very uncomfortable fact for the Hamas fluffers out there, the people who think that they're on, like, you know, some kind of reality terrorist show where they're going to pick them as their favorite stan. I don't know. But the whole point is that Hamas is more ignorant to their people than Israel is. But for some reason, especially the white trust fund socialists over here who were born with a silver spoon sideways up their backside, they just think that's so great. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of the show, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you're getting the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, military veterans, and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT and get free activation when you use offer code Dana. Join me and make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Tired of the same old predictable commentary? Spice up your day with a Dana Show podcast, where dynamic discussions, compelling guests, and Dana's unique perspective await. Download on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts.
Think it's okay to bomb a hospital with children? You know what's so hard sometimes is watching those videos. And the people telling the kids don't cry, and like, let them cry. And they're shaking, and somebody, you know this, they keep telling them not to cry in Arabic. They can cry, I can cry, we all can cry. If we're not crying, something is wrong. And so I'm telling you right now, President Biden,
That's what she sounds like.
And you need to wake up.
We're going to talk more about this. Let's kick it into some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I am so excited about this. That the Devil Comet, apparently there's a big comet on the way, and it is three times bigger than Mount Everest, explodes, and it's sending rocks towards Earth, and I hope it hits this planet, and I hope that, honestly, we're all blown into the icy depths of space. I'm not joking. I hope we are. As if things weren't apocalyptic enough already. You know what? It serves us right. Smod for speaker. How about that? I want smod for speaker. So they said that this is coming. This thing is could be about 18 miles in diameter. That's according to Live Science. Yeah! So that means, you know, the more mileage and the bigger that it is.
That'll do some damage.
It'll do some damage for sure. That's so I'm all for that. Let's do it. Let's see. Oh, this is, I mean, not a story anymore. No one's talking about Pennsylvania. 800,000 tons of radioactive oil and gas waste from Pennsylvania are unaccounted for. A new study suggests that poor record keeping on hazardous waste disposal points to a potential for bigger problems. Yeah, they said that disposal is supposed to be carefully tracked, but 800,000 tons of oil and gas from Pennsylvania oil and gas wells are unaccounted for, according to a recent study. It's from the University of Pittsburgh. They said that, you think that's a problem? Because I think that's kind of a big problem. How do you lose
800,000 tons?
How do you lose 800,000 tons of radioactive waste? Did that nuclear twink in the Biden administration take it? I mean, I know he likes taking ladies' luggage. I'm just curious. Quentin Tarantino, who is one of my absolute favorite film directors of all time, visited an IDF army base in southern Israel in a morale-boosting trip days after. I've been seeing photos of this on Insta. Days after Hamas terrorists, they started their slaughter spree. His wife is Israeli, and he's visited an Israeli military base, boosting morale amongst these troops. And he posed for photos at the camp in southern Israel, and it's been shared online. Maybe he could do an Inglourious Basterds too. That would be great. And they said one admirer posted images on social saying an exciting moment amidst all the redacted. So good for Tarantino, because he's not, and he's posted about it too. He's not made any, I mean, you can't mistake where he stands on this. The 30-year fixed mortgage rate just hit 8% for the first time since 2000. Yeah, so I have a whole thing on my rundown called Domestic, and we're going to talk about the economy under the subhead, The Purge is Close. So we have some good news to look forward to today. Yeah, so it's the first time since 2000 as Treasury yields soar, and real estate commissions could be the next fee on the chopping block. So coming up, Domestic, elsewhere, a lot more, all the latest. Stick with us. All right, folks, so you've heard me talk about Hillsdale College giving away free copies of the Constitution and Declaration of Independence to my listeners for Constitution Day on September 17th. They've set an immediate goal to give copies to 1 million Americans who don't have one. And if not you, then maybe a young person that you know. And the response has been tremendous. However, this free offer for my listeners ends soon. So if you haven't already, order your free copy right now at Dana4Hillsdale.com. Because every American should have a copy of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. And these days, when most schools neglect to teach our kids about our nation's great heritage of liberty, it's more critical than ever to make sure that these documents are readily available to them. So to claim your free copy, visit Dana4Hillsdale.com today, complete a very simple form, and receive your booklet through the mail, and you don't even have to pay for shipping. But as I mentioned, this offer expires soon. So order your copy now at Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Don't delay.
56% of adults feel behind on retirement. Are you one of them? People are living longer, which means people need more saved up. Make sure to not fall trapped to a guide that tells you when you should retire, because everyone's situation is different. Are you going to have to work longer? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Think it's okay to bomb a hospital?
I cannot get over this audio.
With children?
I cannot get over it.
You know what's so hard sometimes is watching those videos and the people telling the kids don't cry. And, like, let them cry.
She said this just yesterday.
Somebody, you know this. They keep talking.
You know, a full 24 hours after we found out that it was absolutely not the IDF that did this, that it was Hamas that did. Actually, it was another. I don't give a rat's ass if it was Hamas or if it was the Islamic Jihad. It's all the same. It's all the same. They're all the same terrorist scum, and they're all going to burn equally in hell. So, I mean, it's the same thing. She went out there. This is a sitting member of Congress who is out there. This was literally, guys, this was yesterday, late afternoon. What time was this? It was like 1 or 2 o'clock. It happened right as we were concluding the show when she came out there and was doing this. because this rally that they had was going all day. So that, that was hours after. You even had news agencies that were surreptitiously editing their headlines and changing things. And she still went out there and was doing this and saying these things. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, you know, they chose it. Like, it again, there is timestamp footage. There's video. There's all kinds of stuff. I don't want to, we went into this yesterday. I'm not going to go into it again. You either believe the evidence or you don't. And I think that the people who don't want to believe the evidence, they just want a reason to hate Jews. Honestly, that's it. They just want a reason to hate Jews. If you're going to hate Jews, then just be out, come out and say that's what you're going to do. Don't try to gaslight us into thinking that you're a rationed person, or that you employ ration and reason, and that you are, well, I want to examine all the evidence. Spare us. Okay, we see right through that garbage. Just be honest. At least do one good thing and be honest. At least be honest in your hatred. I'm tired of it. So this... her coming out there and saying that, where's the censure? Oh, they can't censure because the House can't figure out a speaker. Can we talk about this for a minute? You can't censure her. You can't do anything because the House doesn't have a speaker. Imagine that. Jim Jordan is dropping out of the speaker's race. He's going to be supporting Patrick McHenry as the temporary speaker until January 3rd. So, okay, there it is. And they said that Jim Jordan's technically going to remain speaker designee, but that doesn't really mean a single thing. That's it, you know. So, you know, that's it. So they, all of the spending is going to, because, you know, we have still have, everyone keep, who are the people telling me that at least they're not spending anything? Are you, I don't want to be mean, but have you been paying attention? Because that we are still spending things. We're spending at the current rate of spending. Until that'll keep going for so long as we don't have a speaker. And if there, and there's only so much you can empower Patrick McHenry, but there's only so many things you can empower him to do. He's still limited because he is a temporary, he's a placeholder. So it's not the same. You can give him certain, you can give him permission to do certain things, but it's not the same. And he is still limited in everything that he's able to do. I mean, there's only so much. So that's the latest. I mean, it's gotten nasty. What gets me, and this is something that Byron Donalds admitted the other day. He's like, yeah, I think the people who are, you know, pushing Jim Jordan went a little hard. You think so? Because I can tell you the brain trust that was behind that. I like Jim Jordan. But I think that the brain trust and some of the people that I saw that were like kicking off this, let's overwhelm everyone with texts and all of that. That is their strategy for everything. And they think that we don't, they think that that's a new thing. They act like their strategy is different every time, but that's their strategy to approach everything. This is where it gets a little inside baseball with the Republican Party, because there are people who pay to have their podcast put on air, pay to play, and they act like they're like these big operatives, but they're not. They actually don't even raise money at all. I don't know what they do. And they're the ones who are like, well, let's, you know, we're just going to overwhelm people with the switchboard and everything else with text, and we're going to do all of this. But they never accomplish anything because their strategy is elementary. It's toddler-esque. I think that you have people, and I like Jim Jordan. I've been fine with Jim Jordan. At this point, I'd be fine with Bigfoot. I really don't care. Because there's only so many things that you can do. Only so many permissions that you can give the speaker pro temp, and then you still don't have a speaker. And this is the worst time to not have a speaker. And spending's going on at the current level that it was, and you have the most conservative House majority in a decade. Even if it was just a razor-thin majority, you still had the most conservative House majority in actually over a decade. And the only thing that we controlled in D.C. and the Leroy Jenkinses of the GOP, and I don't care where they stand on issues at this point, on strategy, they're walking turds. They're horrible. They are horrible on strategy, and it's time to admit that. Never be so loyal to a politician that you excuse their mistakes because you think that it's a betrayal to point it out. It is your job as a citizen to point out when they mess up. It is literally your job. People died for your ability to do that. So now who knows? There were some, I will say, when I was looking at some of the deals that they were entertaining, because what Democrats were asking of Jordan to support him for speaker and to make up for the Republicans that decided that we don't care, we're going to make a point. One of the things that they were entertaining was rolling back some of the Trump tax cut stuff. That's what Democrats were demanding. If Jordan would have agreed to it, then he probably would be speaker right now. So kudos to Jordan on that. Because that was what Democrats were proposing last night, that they roll back a portion of the Trump tax cuts, which my biggest criticism of the Trump tax cuts is that they were temporary. They were never permanent. And I've gone on about this for forever. So don't tell me you're going to lower my taxes on a second time when you didn't make it permanent the first time. So good on Jordan for that. But some of this other stuff is so good. There was this, what is it? There were reports that some of the people that wanted to see Jordan become speaker were so aggressive to try to get the votes that apparently they were sending a Republican in Iowa, Marionette Miller Meeks. You have too many names. She was receiving death threats. She's in her second term in the House. She backed Jordan Tuesday. She switched her support to Kay Granger on Wednesday. Granger's not running for speaker. She's led opposition to Jordan. Sidebar to that, Kay Granger sends me all kinds of fundraising stuff. You go to one fundraiser and you get everything. I do local fundraisers for like some of our judges and our county commissioners and things like that. But I get so much stuff from Kay Granger. I'm gonna remember that. What color permanent marker when I'm writing about why I'm not donating because she was leading the opposition, Kane, should I use when I send it back?
Wait, how many colors do you have?
Oh, I have lots of permanent markers, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
I feel like it's my American duty.
Maybe something we have to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just let me know. Let me know what color. I got gold and silver, too. Mm-hmm. Sharpies, big giantins. I do. So she was getting death threats, which I also think is stupid. You don't need to send... It's speaker race, people. Come on. It's a speaker race. Golly. You know what? Some of these people remind me of some of the folks. Everybody's got these friends. Have you ever in college, like you go out, you have a couple drinks, and you go karaoke, right? And you always have that one friend that thinks that they could have been on, that they would have gotten a record deal if the stars had aligned right and the fates had willed it, right? There's that one friend and they take it very seriously. And I can't remember what it was, but there was this one, she was kind of a friend. She was more of a friend of my other friend. And she was trying to get these two other girls together to do harmony parts. I can't remember what it was. I think it was Never Gonna Get It by En Vogue. Yeah. And she was like trying to get them to like remember. She got so mad about it. And then she got mad at me because I suggested that she have another drink and sit down because it was just too much. But those people that take everything so seriously and make even like the most minute things a big giant slap fight. That's what this is. It just gave me those vibes, you know? Like, if you're sending out death threats for supporting a speaker race, you probably, you know what? Let's play hide and seek. We'll hide and you seek professional help. How about that? Yeah, that sounds great, right? Angry phone calls, that's fine. But death threats, that is lame. That's so stupid. I mean, I'm just, they had screenshots and stuff that they put up there. I mean, who sends that in digitally? Who's stupid enough to do that? We're not exactly dealing with the sharpest tools in the shed here either. At this point, I don't care if it's Bigfoot, but I think it's stupid that you could have had Jordan, but you had these people that didn't want to do it. So, I mean, why? Why? They're going to have a lot to answer for coming up for their primaries. I have a feeling. So, to the audio, I just want to circle back to this. You saw, because this was part of that rally that we saw yesterday. Did you see all the people, the insurrectionists in the Capitol, Kane? Did you see those insurrectionists?
I did.
They, apparently there were a couple of Capitol police officers that were assaulted. Did you guys hear about that?
Yeah.
They had a couple of Capitol police officers who were assaulted. Listen to some of this. This is some of the storming. Audio soundbite 8, please. And they have a ceasefire. What are they asking for a ceasefire for? Because if Israel stops returning fire, Israel dies. If Israel stops defending its citizens, people die. Take your stupid entitled butts back home. We're not going to talk about ceasing anything while Hamas has hostages. Many of them American. That's decent. Let Israel do what Israel needs to get done. There's no gray area here. Why are we even entertaining the idea of it? What do you mean ceasefire? Ceasefire what? They've got hostages still. Maybe, why don't you take your stupid dorky banner and demand that Hamas return hostages? How about having a banner that says return the hostages? Did any of these geniuses think to ask that? Any of them? Who's firing the rockets? Who is it? It's Hamas. Not a single one of them. All these. Did Rashida Tlaib say anything about the hostages, Kane?
No. Yeah, that's.
I mean,
weird.
I saw a lot of video, and did I maybe miss a cut? Because so far, no, I haven't seen it.
No, I saw all the video too, in between the crying. Mm. And no, I didn't hear anything about the hostages.
Mm. Not a single thing about the hostages. But she was out there crying. She reminded me of that plane lady. I'm telling you right now. She hasn't cried for the hostages.
Nope.
She, again, I'd love to see her censured, but we can't because we don't have a speaker. Mm. We have 20 of them now. 20 of the Republicans that are putting on a stupid circus. 20 Republicans. We got a lot more to break down coming up because here's what I'm talking about when I say, well, we're real close to the purge. I don't know if you've seen this, and I don't know how I feel about this. And I'm curious about the people who are surveyed. This came out of Miami Herald. The headline is, a large portion of Americans doubt democracy and view violence as acceptable. Now, I really would love to know, like, who are the people? They said half were Biden supporters. So it was oversampled Democrats, 47 to 35. So it's, you know, that makes a little sense. But it's always these progressives who, again, could not bust a grape in a fruit fight, who are like, yeah, we love violence. You are the first people who get your legs broken off. You literally are the first people. We're going to discuss this. We got some domestic issues. We're going to circle back on all the latest with Israel. You also have the president who's going to be speaking tonight at 8 p.m. Central. I assume they're loading him up with steroids and insurer and whatever else, getting his new comfy shoes on. I don't know. I mean, I don't have a lot of high expectations because everything that I saw yesterday.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
So let us today celebrate America's diversity and our collective commitment to inclusion, what? And the importance of equity. Yes, I just did do DEI.
Yeah, exactly. That's the Vice President of the United States. One might say that there are some serious things happening in the world right now. So maybe, you know, the DEI stuff, let's slow the roll on it. But not Kamala Harris. And yes, I just said DEI. Did she say DIE? No, she didn't.
Well, she said diversity, then inclusion, and then equity. So, yeah, she did.
Yes, I just did DEI. Yeah, diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is about bigotry and racism. Because in order to have equity, you actually have to discriminate. It's all about having the absolute, everybody gets the same chance, even if that means taking someone down a notch to give it to, as opposed to, well, or sorry, it's giving everyone the same outcome. Equity is about making sure that people have the same outcome regardless of where they came from, where equality is about making sure that everybody has the same opportunity. So opportunity versus outcome. And in order to achieve the exact same outcome, you absolutely have to employ discriminatory measures in order to make that happen. That's just the truth of the matter. And that's literally what, like, MLK fought against. That's what, so, I mean, you don't want to employ discrimination to fight discrimination. And it also ignores people's own choices. We've talked about this before with DEI. But why is she talking about this? I mean, we got hostages. The economy is doing horrifically. Biden's tanking in the polls. The videos that were released of him yesterday trying to answer reporters' questions were some of the worst that I've ever seen. Anthony Blinken behind him looked terrified. the Visiting Angels plane. He looked terrified. So we'll discuss some of this because y'all, I'm telling you, it is a mess. It is a mess. And then coming up as well, Texas Hilton pulled the plug on a Hamas apologist group conference. We're going to talk about that. We have another day, another failed speaker vote for Jim Jordan, who is now saying that he's just going to be the speaker designee. And he supports McHenry as the placeholder until January. What? Stick with us.
You know, sometimes, Dan, you're out there criticizing the media, and I want to defend the media, but there is no defense here. This was an atrocious series of mistakes by many different major newsrooms all around the same time on Tuesday. And unfortunately, I don't think there's been enough follow-up or accountability to make sure it doesn't happen again. I've noticed oftentimes in breaking news stories, breaking news scenarios, when information is lowest, interest is highest. And by the time we actually know the facts, people move on. Well, this was one of those cases, but it was even worse because when the stakes are highest, it seems the standards were the lowest, and it should be the opposite.
Do we already get hit by the asteroid?
What is that?
Wait, everybody here? Is everybody okay? Everybody do a check. We all here? I'm here. We're all here. Okay. Yeah, we haven't, had any Hunter's cocaine. First off, welcome. Greetings and salutations. Welcome back. Top of the second hour. Dana Lash here with you. Listen coast to coast. You can follow the radio show that way. Stream it. Watch the simulcast. YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. That was Brian Stelter, right? Tatey McTater.
Yeah.
And he... I'm not used to saying these sorts of things, so give me a moment because it's like I'm learning to speak again for the first time. My mouth gets like all numb. It's like I'm having a what about Bob moment here. My lips are numb just thinking about it. He was saying things with his mouth cane that were... Fright. Oh, wow. That is, my mouth is sore now saying that. He was making the words with his mouth, and the words were right. What is happening?
Right?
What is happening? Did we just agree with Tater?
I think so.
This is the spookiest season of all.
Is this one of those even a blind squirrel finds a nut? Or even a broken clock is right twice a day sort of thing?
He's never even been right once a day. So that's why I'm like so shocked at this. That's, I think, a measure of how insane this is. I got to tell you, you guys know Bloomberg News, right? Which I hate. Because Bloomberg News, it's named after the guy who created Moms Demand and then pretended that it was a grassroots thing because he had the website literally like all bought and purchased and all that. And they forgot to hide the name like in the very beginning. Oh, yeah. That's a fun fact. So they came out. Let me pull this up because this was yesterday and I wanted to get the time on this. I think it's like a full day later that they did this. Let me pull this up because I think I had this later on down. But they came out like a full day later. And they ran with the whole story of, oh, yes, it was the Israel that blew up a hospital. Oh, like a whole day later. They decided, I guess they got jealous that they weren't in any of the bad media roundups. And they decided to push that story and come out with their own. They had their own, Kane. They had their own bad story. This is just wild. Just wild. So, I'm telling you what. Woof. This, I'm amazed. I'm amazed. All right, I got a couple of other things that I want to hit here, too. Because we've been talking about the media malpractice and I've been waiting to get to this topic. Huda Beauty. You guys familiar with it? You're not. If you're not, that's okay. That means you're a dude or you like better quality makeup. So for those of you who like it when I get mean, you're buckle up. So this 40-year-old Kim K wannabe named Huda Katan, she's founder of Huda Beauty. I don't use their makeup because I don't like breaking out from cheap chalk. But she told her Israeli and pro-Israel customers on Instagram that she doesn't want their blood money. She was told, and I sent out a newsletter about this, replete with images. She was told that, you know, Israelis all over the world love you and your products. And, you know, they also have money because she's posted a whole bunch of pro, I'm not saying pro-Gaza, Hamas propaganda is what she has reposted. And she had one, an Israeli customer, and then even pro-Israel, just pro-Israel people say, you know, you should probably, you know, be a little bit more careful, et cetera. And she was telling them, I don't want blood money. I don't want your blood money. I don't want your blood. Like, I, you know, and I got to tell you, I think that sounds like a solid business move. Because when you are an entity in such an oversaturated industry of similar products that don't really do anything, and you have all of these identical influencers, you get a bake under the eye. Great. It makes you look like you're made of crepe. Go ahead. Even if you're like 18. They, you know, it's a solid business move in this very oversaturated industry with, again, all these identical influencers to tell women who might buy your 5-pound tubs of cheap drag queen contour to keep their money. Right? Can we also have a this is where I'm getting very mean. I'm just really not going to take makeup advice from someone who can't even A, do a smoky eye properly without using 5 pounds of shadow, or B, contour without making it look like they're just dirty. And you know, contouring, that's literally like you're applying drag queen makeup application to female faces, which just makes it look chiseled and weird, and it doesn't actually give you the soft appearance that you think you're going for. And half of the females who buy your product can't even properly contour because it just makes it look like they have dirt all over their chin. So maybe don't. But she's posted all of these images depicting Gazans. By the way, some of them were probably the very ones that Hamas has barred from leaving so they could bravely use them as human shields as victims of Israel. And she has intimated that Israel is the provocateur, right? She hasn't divulged at all to her social media audience that it was the elected and fairly popular Hamas that actually began the attacks when they paraglided into a peace festival while shooting revelers from the sky. She hasn't divulged to her audience that apparently fighting for freedom means kidnapping children. Did you know that? All the big freedom fighters, that's the first thing they do is kidnap children. I mean, you know, when MLK was fighting for freedom, that was one. Oh, wait, no, it wasn't. So she hasn't divulged any of that to any of her followers. And they certainly, I don't know any other freedom followers or freedom fighters that rape women and torture and kill innocent victims while using the innocent victim's phone to then broadcast via live stream on Facebook, Insta, or TikTok their murders, like on the victim's pages. It's on the internet. Don't look for it because you can't unsee it. Hamas and their apologists believe that Hamas has the right to attack anyone and everyone that it wants to, and nobody else has the right to defend themselves. And while she hasn't talked about how Israel warns Gazans days ahead of any action, while Hamas, literally there are satellite images showing that they have blocked Gazans from fleeing. There's tons of these photos online. Some of them are Gazans that have taken them and put them up. I mean, you can see they block the roads. They put two trucks back to back. They block the roads because they want people to get caught in the crossfire. And this is years after Hamas and Fatah have repeatedly rejected all solutions for peace. I wanted to share with you, Israel's independence declaration explicitly discusses living in peace and harmony with its Arab neighbors. It says, quote, "We extend our hand to all neighboring states and their peoples in an offer of peace and good neighborliness and appeal to them to establish bonds of cooperation and mutual help with the sovereign Jewish people settled in its own land. The state of Israel is prepared to do its share in a common effort for the advancement of the entire Middle East." Hamas's charter, very different. They say, quote, There is no solution for the Palestinian question except through jihad. Initiatives, proposals, and international conferences are all a waste of time and vain endeavors. The Palestinian people know better than to consent to having their future rights and fate toyed with. That's in their actual charter. You tell me. I helpfully linked both of these things and provided screenshots for people who like, oh, show me the babies. There's no gray area. Hamas cannot stop being worthless terrorists, and their core belief is the rejection of their neighbor's right to exist. They don't care about freedom. They just hate Jews. And all the people who do the apologies for them, they don't want freedom. They just hate Jews. They rape and kill people. They should be rocked the hell off the face of the earth. Live in peace or live in pieces. Pretty easy. Let Israel finish what Israel needs to do. And I had some drive-bys that were very, very angry at me. And you guys know I'm going to touch on this again. They were very angry at me because I say Gaza or I say West Bank. Because I, just like, again, you are not going to override my free speech right and make me call a dude who chops off his schlong a woman. You are also not going to make me participate in this conjuring into existence a fictional place and a fictional race of people. It's not going to happen. Palestinian is not an ethnicity. Palestine is not a country, and it's not supported by thousands of years of antiquity. Not mentioned in the Quran. It's not mentioned in the Bible. And it was a name that was given to enemies of Jewish people after Hadrian quelled the second Jewish uprising, spitefully so, to name it Syria Palestina after the Philistines, who were not Arab, by the way, a seafaring people. And this was several centuries before the people, Arabic people, even got into that particular area in the first place, but did so, named them that as a way to spitefully get back at Jewish people and further disassociate them with their origins on the land. So I just don't pay attention. I just don't participate in magic and pretend and all of that stuff. I just don't. I'm not doing that. I mean, and this is, I get that Yasser Arafat has preached that, and I get that there are other politicians that want to sit here and push this idea of a historical Palestinian state, but there literally has never been a Palestinian state. There's never been a Palestine. There's never been a Palestinian anything. And I'm happy to spend an entire show dragging people painfully throughout thousands of years to educate them on this. Very happy to do so, because see, we are a people who believe in science, and we believe in fact, and we believe in actual history, not made up history that has been fabricated out of the ether. We believe in concrete ideas and real things. So that's why I believe what I believe. And that's why I say Gazan, and that's why I say Gaza, and that's why I say West Bank, and I will say two territories, but I'm not going to refer to a non-existent country or non-existent people. And anyone who has any problems with that, they can freely go pound sand. Don't care. Now, with this, the whole push on this, we were talking about the bad press and the media malpractice and the left. Have you seen the riots that have been happening outside of embassies? Greece and Lebanon, elsewhere. They've been expanding, as well as protests in other countries. And it was all kicked off by this fake report. Isn't that something? It's almost like it was organized.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
For real, like, can we just do some karaoke with Superstition? Because, like, I'll play on that. Like, let's. All right, CBS. X, formerly Twitter, tests charging new users, $1 a year to use basic features. They said that they're testing out a subscription model, which they're going to charge new users a year to use the basic stuff. They said it's not a bot subscription method. They're starting at New Zealand and Philippines. They should probably start it where there are bots. Is that where there are bots at? Where are the bots at? Because that's probably where they should launch it. I'm just, you know, they said they're going to evaluate this potentially powerful measure, blah, 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 blah. I think it's actually brilliant how he monetized it. And now you can earn money because he sells ads based on engagement. I actually think that's brilliant. I think it's absolutely brilliant how he did it. You can get mad at how he did it, whatever. I didn't pay for my checkmark. I think it's just because I've been there forever. But I actually think that's smart. So like if I post something, it's kind of a test just to see about the engagement. So just know that. But anyway, it's taken away some of my hate mail thunder. I gotta say, you know. All right, so a lot, but some people aren't mad about it, or are mad about it. I don't know. I'm kind of ambivalent. It's a dollar a year. You know that you buy apps that are worth more than that, and you have to pay that monthly. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. Also, let's see. A couple of other things here. The 23andMe. They have suffered another breach, and your data is in jeopardy. The company is investigating. A hacker with the moniker Golem published a new data set purportedly containing the records of 4 million users of 23andMe. TechCrunch reported that some of the newly published dates align with publicly available 23andMe data on user info and genetic details. All the indications suggest that it's real. And 23andMe told TechCrunch they were reviewing the data to determine if it was legitimate. They already had this happen earlier because, like, literally at the start of this month, there was a hacker that stole data and put it up for sale. And they were targeting the Ashkenazi Jews. That was from Wired. People who were of that ancestry and who were, I guess, had submitted their information to Twitter. Stop sending your stuff to sites like 23andMe. Stop it. Because... do you trust any of that? No, I don't even trust a Roomba. No. Residents discover a shopping trolley on top of a lamppost, sparking a conspiracy theory. It's a fun little mystery for the Brits. I'll come back to this one in our headlines in our third hour. But coming up, we have some, well, the latest on Israel. Stay with us.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
And to my president, to our president, yes, he's still on. Well, hold on. I know, I want him to know, as a Palestinian American, is also somebody of Muslim faith, I'm not going to forget this. And I think a lot of people are not going to forget this. And it's not a threat. It isn't. They think we're joking. I mean, I think the White House and everyone thinks that we're just going to sit back and let this just continue to happen. No. The fact of the matter is, our lives are not safe with you or the former peace president.
Goodness. Rashida Tlaib, who, if we had House leadership at the moment, I think she should be brought up for censure. And hopefully she's not going to be reelected again. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, bottom of this second hour. You can listen coast to coast all around the nation. You can also stream the radio program and watch the simulcast YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347 on DirecTV. And the all of the news coming out of this attack on Israel, it's changing very, very quickly. You hear reports of, you know, potential ground invasion of the Strip. You hear about the activity now in northern Israel towards the border with Lebanon, with Hezbollah. There's so much coming out. And always, especially as we saw with the story of the hospital, and as it turned out, it was terrorists that blew up their own hospital, which wouldn't be the first time that they blew up something within their own territory, that the media ran with this wild story that it was the IDF that did it, which has then kicked off further destabilization, not just regionally, but now you saw protests in Greece. There were protests in London. You see it more and more at universities, and they are using this now, even though it's been disproven, as like the basis for their rioting or protests. And I mean, with all of the truth that's out there, it's wild to me that some people struggle with grasping reality. And speaking of reality, what is reality like that, like there? Joel Rosenberg is a New York Times bestselling author with 5 million copies in print. He's also the founder and editor-in-chief of All Israel News and All Arab News, and he's a host of the Rosenberg Report. He is, because I think this is interesting to put it in context, he's a Middle East analyst, but he's also an evangelical leader who lives in Jerusalem with his wife and his sons, and he is there now. He joins us on the phone because he's been with the IDF, and he's seen what's the atrocity that has been taking place with these terrorist attacks firsthand. First off, Joel, thank you so much for joining us. And we're praying for, we're praying for Israel. We're praying for you over there, and just hoping that, you know, maybe it would be nice if you just stop being attacked for just, you know, long enough for you all to catch your breath. But thank you for joining me.
Oh, Dana, thank you so much for your prayers, for your encouragement, for your sympathy. We appreciate all of it. Your solidarity. It's been a while since I've been back on the show, but I'm very grateful. It's too bad it's this, but like, right. You know, the world has always said never again, but this is the worst massacre, savage, barbaric massacre of Jews since the Holocaust. There literally has been no other time in the last 75, 80 years where so many Jews have been murdered in such a short period of time. And yet, for the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, CNN, MSNBC, BBC, like, to take the word of butchers, of barbaric savages who are murdering babies in front of their mothers, burning Jews alive in their homes, for them to take the word of Hamas operatives, terrorists, and put it on the front page of the paper that we bombed some hospital, it's lied. And what universe are we living in, Dana, where reporters, I mean, I understand media bias, I thought, but I this is off the charts insane. It's sickening.
It's
I say
horrific.
That as a Jew, as an evangelical, as a human being. I mean, this is, and you know, the truth, which we had three camera angles watching and showing, it is a Palestinian terror rocket that malfunctions and falls in the hospital. We've got an intercept, an audio intercept, praise God for the Israeli intelligence
right.
system, that shows two Hamas operatives, and one is explaining to the other one, oh my gosh, it wasn't Israel, it was us. And the other guy's like, seriously? The mainstream media, they don't want to get it. But why? Why does Israel get a double standard? There was conspiracy theorists after 9/11. Oh, it's the CIA that blew it up. Like, but nobody ran that story. Not on the front page of the New York Times. Like, what? This is 50 times worse than 9/11, what we're facing over here.
Yeah. And clarify this too for us. We're talking with Joel C. Rosenberg. You can find him at that name on Twitter or X now. Because the first, when I was reading, because the New York Times was very surreptitiously, you know, editing their story as the day unfolded and we got more and more confirmed information. And I mean, which, you know, this isn't the first time that Hamas or a terrorist entity has misfired a rocket. I mean, I think the percentage is like 40% of the time.
450 times so far.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, just in this
that's
war.
Insane. But when they were
times.
Running these pieces, they were quoting the quote unquote Palestinian Health Authority, which is Hamas, correct?
Exactly. No, that's the thing. They're not even being good journalists and saying, listen, we're going to report to you what the Hamas terrorist organization that just butchered 1,400 Israelis are telling us. Might not be true. But they shouldn't even do that, right? If you get a press release from Al-Qaeda, you don't run it. I mean,
right.
but at least say, don't hide behind this idea that there's a Palestinian health official. The whole Gaza Strip is run by Hamas. Let's be clear, Dana, especially to your audience, which is a pretty educated audience, but let's just make it clear. Israel hasn't occupied Gaza in almost 20 years. We withdrew in 2005. Every Israeli soldier, every Israeli civilian was withdrawn from Gaza. The whole Gaza Strip was given to the Palestinian people. They have beachfront property. They have trillions of
cubic feet. You left everything there.
Exactly. But there's also trillions of cubic feet of natural gas right off their coast, just like it is off of our coast. They could drill. They could be the richest group of people, happy, free. We do not occupy them. But Hamas has turned it into a hellhole. And now they have butchered our sons and daughters, our grandparents, Holocaust survivors. I just was watching an interview with an Israeli emergency services official. These are the people that come in and clean up the dead bodies and remove them and bury them, okay? And he's giving an interview just moments ago that I was watching it that he's saying, I walk into this living room or this dining room, the mother and a father, they're all shot dead execution style. They're on their knees, heads bowed, hands tied behind their back, two children next to them. He said, fingers have been chopped off. Eyes have been gouged out. He goes, unspeakable torture, and then executed. This has just happened. And yet, Dana, I was sitting with the president of Israel just a couple of days ago, covering this for All Israel News and my TBN show, The Rosenberg Report. Becky Anderson, the CNN anchor, asks him a question. Right after Israeli President Isaac Herzog just explained all these atrocities, and more being revealed every day. And she accuses Israel of war crimes in Gaza. Don't you realize that as you try to move all these people south, moving a population, those are war crimes. Aren't you sensitive to, you know, what do you say to the accusations? Right. And he's like, are you freaking serious? We're trying to get innocent civilians out of harm's way. They gave us no warning when Hamas stormed in, which Becky Anderson, CNN, yeah. You're actually going to accuse us of war crimes? This is like walking into Auschwitz.
And they've never put context into this. We're talking with Joel Rosenberg, who lives in Israel with his wife and sons. And talk a little bit about the history of this, because I was looking into all of the aid that has been given to Gaza. Because just to touch on the stories or the accusations that, oh, Israel has denied them this or prevented that. I mean, I know Israel sent aid regularly, annually.
Yeah.
But also, there was money that was given to help with sewage infrastructure, to help with water infrastructure. And then when Hamas was using the money to buy rockets and munitions, then actual pipes were sent. And then they turned the pipes into bombs. And I read one story, Joel, where there was members of the IDF that were looking at fragments of something that had exploded over Israel, and they realized these are pipes. Like, these are actual water pipes. They had dug up water pipes from properties in Gaza, manufactured them into bombs and then rockets, and then sent them off over to Israel. Well, no wonder they misfire all the time.
Yes, this is exactly the case. And it's not annual. Israel, on a weekly basis, sent just convoys of 18-wheelers with food and medical supplies. I run a nonprofit Christian relief organization called the Joshua Fund. We've bought equipment, medical equipment, neonatal care equipment, whatever, for an Israeli hospital that's very close to the Gaza border. It's called Barzilai Hospital in Ashkelon. Gazan citizens who can't get good medical care in Gaza are allowed to come into Israel, and we treat them. So I'm as bad as these savage butchers are. I mean, this is ISIS, like, this is Nazi, like, yes, the Hamas terrorists. But as hard as it is to deal with that and the emotion and the grief, Dana, that we're going through, but on top of that, for the world's media outlets to put us in a position that we are being painted as monsters when we are defending ourselves from monsters is the most, it's the bizarro world, except it's not fiction. Mm-hmm. I write political thrillers. Yeah, I'm a journalist too, but because I can't just write thrillers, but I make things up for a living. And I have never written anything as horrible. I write Middle East political thrillers often that have come true, and I don't want them to. I could never have even imagined something this bad.
I have two quick questions for you in the time that we have remaining. Talking with Joel Rosenberg, you can find him on X, Twitter, Joel C. Rosenberg, and you definitely should read some of his thrillers because they are quite captivating. First question, Joel, are you worried about a ground offensive? Because 300 miles of tunnels in Gaza, I know hostages are there, but it seems like Fallujah 2.0.
Yeah, the war cabinet is meeting in Israel right this moment, Dina, live as we speak. And I don't know if they're going to make the decision tonight. It's been important for us to have President Biden here. Set politics aside, when an American president wants to help, this is a good thing. When the British prime minister wants to help, he was here today, that's a good thing. The German chancellor was here this week. So we've been taking our time to get Palestinians out of the way, innocent Palestinians, civilians, and to build our case with the international community. But we are going in, and it's going to be hard, and the world is going to turn against us, and there's going to be UN Security Council resolutions against us. And the question is, will Biden stick? I pray that he will, but he didn't stick with the Afghan government. And,
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
More important to him. than them. Yeah. But, you know, this is a real issue.
Last question for you, Joel Rosenberg, and you can find again, he's got 5 million, all of his books, he's got 5 million out there in print. Not 5 million books, but 5 million sold. New York Times bestselling author.
I've been busy.
I realized, I was like, I mean, you write a lot of stuff, but you don't write that much. Are you concerned about because one of the things that we always hear is, you know, the northern Israel with Hezbollah and Lebanon at the border there. Is there a concern that this, because technically the way that I've seen it reported is that it's not technically a two-front war yet, but there is that possibility. What can you tell us about that?
Well, there is intense fighting going on up on that border. Hezbollah has already opened fire on us. We're trying to contain it and not let it blow up. But I got to tell you, Dana, you just referenced my novels. One of the novels I did write, it was two novels ago called The Beirut Protocol, and it's about what if that border erupts and it goes badly. It goes badly in the novel. It'll go badly in real life. I will just tell you this. I've got a column coming out tomorrow, Dana, on All Israel News. It'll be the lead story. And that is, I think that Netanyahu was saying to Biden yesterday, if Hezbollah opens up a full-on missile war, I'm going to hit Tehran. I'm going to take out the nuclear sites in Iran, and we're going to go after Khamenei, because we're not going to fight a two-front war when it's really coming from Iran. And I think Biden is doing everything he can, to his credit, to keep that war from opening. But moving two aircraft carriers into our area, that hasn't happened since the 1973 war. I think Biden might side with Bibi and say, yes, we've got to take out the Iranian thing. I don't
know.
Like,
that's what with that kind of firepower
right
in
now,
the Mediterranean.
I will tell you that. I know him. Yeah.
Yeah. That's well, I would love to talk with you more, Joel. We definitely have to have you back.
I'll be your Middle East correspondent. Let me know, Dana.
Yes, sir. Hopefully it gets better from here and we don't have anything worse to report on, because as if it could get worse. I mean, you feel like the worst has already happened, and then yet, you know, then another day and another development.
It could get much,
Joel C.
much
Rosenberg
worse.
On X. Joel, we're praying for you all over there. God bless you.
Thank you.
And thank you so much
bless
for
you.
Putting facts out there. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay, so we got a Villages story. A suspected shoplifter was arrested after several trips through the self-checkout lane at a Walmart in the Villages. Wait, what? Yeah, it's Kaylee Ann Prop. Now, she lives, she's someone's sweetie in the Villages, because this chick is too young to be living in the Villages. She's in her 20s. Anyway, she made four trips in September and October to the Walmart in the Villages, Sarasota Plaza, according to the arrest report from Sumner County. She was, they got her on surveillance. She was arrested on four counts of theft, but here's the thing, $4,000. But she, like, kept going back. Like, she would go and steal, and then she didn't leave. That's how she got caught. She went back in, like, right, like, leaves, and then is like, oh, I forget something. I'm going to go steal something else. And what are you? I am not an expert on shoplifting. I don't know anything about it. But I would just think that, you know, you would want to get out when you're shoplifting. You don't want to draw attention to yourself or stay there longer than you have to. She is not she's got an ugly neck tat. I don't dislike tats, but I dislike ugly ones on your neck. And so that, you know, explain, she didn't make the best choices. But I'm just saying. So, whew. Tomorrow, I'll tell you about a woman who stole her mother's car and then ran her right over. Dang. Yeah, that's, you know, a Florida woman. They still sound saner than D.C. Third hour on the way. Stick with me.
You were very blunt with the Israelis on the need to give humanitarian aid to Gaza, or what exactly?
On everything. So, I was very blunt about the need to support getting humanitarian aid to Gaza. Get it to Gaza and do it quickly.
All right.
Any more for the hospital, sir?
May I? May I ask you about that?
That's the president that was on the Visiting Angels plane Air Force One yesterday, taking questions from the press. Somewhat. Did he answer them, do you think, to your liking, Kane?
No. He sure didn't.
Mm-mm. Yeah, me neither. Mm-mm. Welcome back to the show. Top of this third hour, Dana Lasher with you. Listen Coast to Coast, stream the program as well. YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. Oh my gosh. The very weird remarks that he made. Like, I don't even, what did we, the one where he said, oh yeah, we've got to shoot straight. And then he just like rambled and stared off into the distance at one point. Can I just, here, audio standby three. Can I hear this again? I know we've, I just, please let tonight, his address tonight at 8 p.m. Central, the White House from the Oval Office be better than this.
I know at the hospital, sir, people all over the region are upset about the hospital and don't necessarily believe you or the Israelis that they didn't have anything to do with it. Do you have a message to the people in the streets right now?
Well, I can understand why in this circumstance they wouldn't believe. I can understand that. But I would not, and notice I don't say things like that unless I have faith in the source from which I've gotten it. Our Defense Department says it's highly unlikely that it was Israelis, but if it had a different footprint and they've intercepted some. Anyway, yeah. So that's why, if you notice, I didn't say it at first. I wanted to make sure that I knew. And look, and I'm not suggesting that Hamas deliberately did it either. It's that old thing.
Isn't that John Kirby in the corner? Is he like scrunching down? I mean, there was,
Blinken, right?
But Blinken. Then on the other dude, that looked like Kirby.
That was Kirby. Yeah.
I just was noticing that. So he's like, yeah, they gotta learn how to shoot straight. I'm not suggesting they deliberately. They gotta learn how to shoot straight. Well, deliberately, you know, they deliberately misfired a rocket. I think that whenever you have junk like that, you're deliberately doing something. I mean, come on. His address tonight, it's going to be very, very scripted. I think that one of the reasons why they announced this morning that he's doing this address tonight is because all of his stuff yesterday was such a shambles. It was bad. I know that there are some people that are really wanting to have a hero in the White House right now because it looks like it's so crazy everywhere else. But politics aside, this is bad. This is not the time that you need a bumbling, you know, guy who's looks like he's on the struggle bus. Looks and sounds like he's on the struggle bus. You need youth and vigor. You got to have it. You got to have a war. You have to have a president who can pivot to being a wartime president. And that's not this guy. I'm not saying the U.S. be at war, but when you have allies at war, there is peace through strength. And he is not projecting strength. He's not. So the media with this, I hope that he says something about the media malpractice that went into the hospital stuff. Because it wasn't even the hospital. I want to make sure that it was the parking lot near the hospital. It wasn't the hospital. The hospital was like not really hit. It was the hospital. It was the parking lot near the hospital. And didn't it happen in the middle of the night? Mm-hmm. So why did you have Hamas propaganda showing all these bloody kid backpacks? If it happened and it hit a parking lot in the middle of the night? Anybody want to take a guesstimate on that? Yeah,
I'm
Kane.
I'm going to guess propaganda.
Did you see the doctors that had this bizarro presser after this happened? That the Hamas television, because it's all government controlled over there, that they put on. And you had these doctors with like these piles of children. I'm like, what were all these kids doing in this parking lot in the middle of the night?
Good question.
Because it didn't hit the hospital. It hit the parking lot that was near the hospital. It did not hit the hospital. It hit the parking lot in the middle of the night. There's footage, there's timestamp, there's geo-tracking, stop. I mean, I'm not arguing with flat earthers on this.
And they immediately came out and said 500 dead?
Yeah, they're like, there are 511 trillion dead. And then they were showing these like bloodied backpacks and everything. I'm like, what the hell were all these kids doing out in the middle of the night at this parking lot? There seems something that's not right here. How dare you ask questions, you Zionist. What does that even mean? Shut up, you damn Nazi. What does that even mean? I just, you know, I've got questions. You don't hate the media enough, though. You don't. I mean, looking at this, the way that this, I was looking at some of these headlines, because you have American intelligence that already confirmed it. And this was even New York. I mean, the New York Times even had to come back and add that, by the way, that it was caused by a Hamas rocket that fell short, whether it was the Islamic Jihad or whether it was Hamas. It was a Hamas rocket that fell short. It was not in Israeli airspace. It didn't originate from Israel. And it hit a parking lot, and the casualties are for, why the hell were there 500 people crammed into this small parking lot? Anybody? I love the people who are like, oh, I don't believe the dead babies. I'm going to need to see some dead babies before I believe those dead baby stories. I'm going to need to see some dead baby heads. Legit people were asking that. I don't know. I'm on an illegit. And then they would show it out there. They would, and then when the IDF, when Israel finally released it and our intel confirmed it, you had people, I don't know, that could be AI. But then Hamas comes out and is like, oh, approximately 500 people. Same people, the dead baby brigade. Yeah. Were out there like, oh, no, this is crazy. You killed 500 people? They just went ahead and believed Hamas.
Yeah. There are people that believe the hospital was leveled. They still believe that to this very day.
The hospital that's still standing there, people are taking pictures of and uploading them to social media
with
timestamp metadata.
That very one.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Wow. Huh. I mean, the hospital, the Wall Street Journal is like, this hospital was decimated. That never happened. It hit a parking lot and it was in the middle of the night. How do you have 500 dead and all these kids' backpacks? What the hell was happening in that parking lot in the middle of the night? I mean, you had to read all the way down 8 paragraphs into the New York Times story before you realize, oh, they can't support anything that they just said in their headline. Oh, they can't support any of it. Huh. They couldn't at all. And the Palestinian Health Ministry is literally operated by Hamas. That is true. And Hamas controls what everyone says. That is also true. I feel like people don't understand the control that Hamas has on this area. They run everything. And, you know, we talked to Joel Rosenberg. He was exactly right. There was no occupation in Gaza. Israel does not have, they have no occupation in Gaza. The Hamas runs everything. They had their elections. They decided after 2006 they didn't want to have any more. They had their elections. They run everything. And they could be rich. They could be like drilling and extracting minerals, doing all kinds of stuff. And they choose to not do it. They could have used all this aid that they received to have their own water infrastructure, sewage, to do so much. And they choose to not do it. And then they demand that everyone else provide it to them for free. Like they were demanding Israel, turn the water back on for free. Give us all this stuff for free. They act like they are in poverty because of Israel when they're in poverty because Hamas takes literally all of the resources and use them to go after and target Israel. It's in their charter that to not live peaceful existences. I've read that to you. It's in my newsletter. You can access it. So why aren't people pointing this out? When they're talking, that's why I tell you I reject the whole notion of occupation. It is just not accurate. There's a lot of misinformation out there, including coming from some people who claim that they are on the right. But I want you to notice, these are people who are new figures on the right. They have not been there in the long haul. They were nowhere during the grassroots heavy lifting that made 2016 possible, by the way, during the Tea Party days. They have not been out there criticizing government overreach and the Patriot Act and everything else. They have not been out there. They just decided, they only just came into existence within the past like 4 to 6 years. And I've noticed that these are the same people that are pushing these notions that, well, not all, it's, you know, it's not, it's really Israel. They go, oh, well, you know, Israel was on the brink of a civil war because of some of the judicial overhauls that were being done. There was a lot of discontent there. That's separate from this. In fact, this attack galvanized Israel. Whatever factions that they had and whatever disagreements that they had going on with some of the judicial overhaul that they were that was taking place and the fight over that. I mean, they are they're galvanized now. But that's irrelevant. There's also this claim that, well, you know, Israel, Netanyahu created, you know, he funded Hamas. Everyone's taking that story out of context. There was this story that happened, this issue that happened several years ago when Hamas, Qatar was pressuring the Israeli government because there had been like hostages and there was, you know, another like rocket suicide, all the, you know, it's the same old Hamas stuff. And Israel was trying to figure out a way to de-escalate the situation and just go along to get along. And part of that was, well, if we give them, you know, if we give them X amount, then they'll go away. And that quote that Netanyahu had said has been taken and misrepresented six ways to Sunday by people who are insisting that Israel and Netanyahu created and funded Hamas. Hamas is an offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood. Hamas is an offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood. It is why Egypt has its border closed to Gaza. They came out when they were driven essentially out of Egypt. The Muslim Brotherhood was banned as a party in Egypt for quite a long time. And I had people telling me, well, they were during the Arab uprising, they were there. Yeah, because Hillary Clinton made the extraordinary move of actually endorsing a Muslim Brotherhood candidate because it was best, it was for some reason, the Obama-Biden administration helped foment the Arab uprising and they created the destabilization in Libya. They also created the destabilization in Egypt because they got in. They also created the destabilization, one of the South American countries where they backed the dictator. And they were, you want to talk about nation building and psyops and destabilizing order. That was the Obama-Biden administration. And Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, endorsed the Muslim Brotherhood candidate, the group that had been ostracized and actually prohibited from being involved in Egyptian politics, went in and backed that dude. Go look it up. So very briefly, they were back in Egypt. Now they're banned again. So that doesn't hold water either. They are an offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood. And it is because that they foment chaos and they sow disorder and they actually, you know, even carry out violence against other Arab leaders within these other countries that they are not welcome in Jordan. That's why nobody wants to take them in. And that's why all of these other Arab nations have closed their doors to any refugees coming out of Gaza, because their argument is that you have simmered in this mindset for so long. You are bringing these principles into our country. We do not want this destabilization here. That is their mindset. So all the people that are pushing these narratives to you, you just ignore them because it's not based in fact. And feel free to go. I always tell you, don't trust anyone and don't even take my word for it. Do the legwork yourself. If you disagree with something that I've said, by all means, try to prove me wrong on it. I'm not like other commentators out there. I don't go on air and talk about something that someone gives me a one sheet for. I do it myself. So there's a lot of bad info, a lot of bad info, and a lot of bad actors out there. And some of them, sadly, are on the right. Speaking of the right, we're going to talk about some of the latest with the House development. I'm so done. You had 200 Americans brought home from Israel on DeSantis Airlines, too. We got that.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Okay, so this is an EasyJet headline. EasyJet, their flight was canceled because of a defecation incident. This was actually, instead of the spaghetti incident, it was the actual defecation incident. For you didn't know that, did you? I'm joking. No, not this story. An EasyJet flight was canceled because somebody went to the bathroom on the airplane bathroom floor. It was Sunday evening. They were going to London, and it had already been delayed. A passenger on board said the flight had ran into trouble pre-departure. They were switched out for a smaller aircraft, meaning people were turned away boarding. People who made it on board 2 hours after then had to wait for more than an hour while bags were offloaded. And then somebody had the unfortunate accident on the bathroom floor. And then that put everybody literally back by a whole day because they had to take everybody off. It was apparently very bad. Oh, my gosh. Let's see. Also, it's getting expensive to have fun. prices for concert tickets and amusement park, all of that have ballooned because, yeah, Biden inflation. What did people honestly think was going to happen? Stick with us. We got a lot more in store, the latest with the House.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
The president pledged $100 million in an aid package to Palestinian civilians, innocent civilians in Gaza and the West Bank. How is the United States going to ensure that none of that ends up in the hands of Hamas?
Well, as you know, this was a primary focus of the president's diplomacy yesterday, both in Israel, where he met with the entire Israeli security establishment, but also in his phone conversations with regional leaders, including President al-Sisi of Egypt. Getting assistance into Gaza is a complicated undertaking. It involves essentially securing an understanding among Hamas fighters who control the checkpoint on the other side of the border, among the government of Israel and among the government of Egypt. And the agreement the president secured will enable these trucks to flow as soon as the roadway can be repaired. But the president was also quite clear that if this assistance goes in, it cannot be misappropriated. It cannot be taken by Hamas fighters for their own purposes. And so we're going to be watching that very closely. It has to get to Palestinian civilians who need it.
It has to.
He didn't answer the question. He's like, well, you know, it's got to get to. But he didn't answer the question. She's like, how do you? Well, because, you know, we're going to watch it closely like you did with Afghanistan. Yeah. Going to watch it closely like there. Just curious. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lasher with you. Bottom of this third hour. How are they going to get? Because you know that they stole UN aid. They've stolen all. I mean, it's a guaranteed not going to get to people. They take everything first and they leave nothing for anybody else. The president is set to speak tonight at 8 p.m. Central. We'll see. I do believe, though, even though previously Biden, and particularly with Valerie Jarrett under Obama Biden, there was always this Iran adjacency, this catering to the Iranian agenda. And I don't know that I see that continuing, although there has been a little confusion because at first, you know, Biden intimated, the White House has intimated that they would stand with Israel if Iran got involved. And then they're like, oh, well, they're on their own. We'll see. But it's to have two carrier strike groups like that in the Mediterranean and another larger vessel. It's not part of the CSG, but that was going out there as well. That's a lot of fire. That's a lot of firepower. In that area, that is a definite show of force to prevent bad actors from further magnifying this chaos. But who knows? A lot could happen between now and tonight when he speaks. I mean, who knows? So we will definitely recap and break that down for you tomorrow. So as it relates to the House, because nobody can do anything in the House because of all this. So McHenry, who is the Speaker pro tem, he's apparently rejecting the idea of a resolution that would grant him a little bit more leeway as interim House Speaker. Again, you can try to empower him more, but there is a max that you can power up that dude right before he hits the ceiling because he's a temp. There's still certain things that he's not able to do. McHenry says that he's still working to elect Jordan as Speaker. That was 2 hours ago. So that's... Jordan says that he would support empowering McHenry to an extent. But again, that's even limited what his powers would be. Not much more than what he can do now. And in the meantime, Democrats support Hakeem Jeffries, who said his caucus would work with interim Speaker McHenry. So this is all it's a mess. It's all the latest. It's just a mess. I mean, this is what happens when you run into this without any kind of a backup plan, without any way to at all whatsoever have any kind of backup, have any kind of substitute, have anything. And I don't know. They're frozen. They can't do anything. Gates had apparently blasted the plan to empower McHenry. He had said that he was against Speaker Light. I'm against Bud Light. He says it's a constitutional desecration to not elect a speaker. Well, Leroy Jenkins, you should have thought about that before you decided to file a motion to vacate, because you filed a motion to vacate without having at all any kind of plan, which I find embarrassing. And I don't know. I get that he is very eager to point the sharp end of the stick towards people who are criticizing his motion to vacate. With, and he's muddying the waters because he refuses to recognize the difference between the timing and the action. No one's against, fine, you're going to take McCarthy out. Nobody gives a rat's ass. Take him out then. But, I mean, you know, politically. But when you're doing it now without any strategy, you have no plan. That's what people are mad about. So stop acting like people who are rightfully and legitimately criticizing you just going into this half-cocked without having thought about it beforehand. Stop criticizing people who are making legitimate points about that. That is absolutely true. How are you a good leader if you have, if you go into something to blow it up and you have no backup plan? Again, it's like Leroy Jenkins. It's like the scene from Ghostbusters. Get her. That's your plan. Get her. Have something after. So he said he's going to do everything possible to stop it. So he would be against Jordan, the guy he said he wanted then at the, I don't know. It's also stupid. I don't think that this is about integrity. I think for Gates, I do think it was personal. I don't care about their fights. I don't care enough about any of these people to dive into why they personally dislike someone or not. I don't care. I really don't care. I don't care if Bigfoot is speaker at this point, so long as he doesn't increase my taxes. I don't care. This is all so dumb because now Republicans are MIA on an issue that they are the strongest on. They are the strongest on this issue and they're MIA. Because of this, the one thing that we control in D.C. So he says he's against it and he would fight. I mean, he started it. So it's kind of ironic that he would be against it. But, you know, it is what it is. We'll see. But I at this point, they don't know what they're going to do. Now, some had said, no, McCarthy actually started it. He made an agreement that he didn't make an agreement that he didn't have any intention of following through on. You can't accuse McCarthy of doing the thing that you also did in order to get McCarthy out. We don't do this. Stop. I'm just so tired of it. I'm so tired of the uniparty stuff. Don't vote for Democrats. That's the uniparty, or with Democrats. That's the uniparty. Again, I don't care who's speaker. I don't think you all do either. Everybody's broke. The Middle East is burning. It's causing other regional destabilization. You have your legacy press gaslighting you, trying to get you into war. And these guys are slap fighting it out in D.C. I hate, loathe every single one of these people. I don't like a single one of them. So I don't get the citizens who turn on each other because their favorite Republican politician is arguing with another Republican politician. I do not like politicians more than I like the everyday people. I'm not going to get angry at a regular everyday person more than I'm going to be angry at a politician. That's just how I look at it. I just don't like to get this backwards, and I like to remember the whole order of things. Now, in the meantime, while they're MIA on their strongest issue, we're still trying to figure out, well, we got hostages over there. You had the DeSantis flight bring another 200 Americans over. Adam Kinzinger was very upset over that, still is. You have the ongoing rioting and protesting elsewhere. And then, by the way, meanwhile, at our own border, Rights Group had those. Two Iranian terrorists were arrested over a significant security threat. Griff Jenkins reported that Customs and Border Patrol confirmed two Iranian terrorists were arrested at the southern border. And according to the report, these Iranians were in the terrorist screening database and they raised red flags that they could pose a significant security threat. So Customs and Border Patrol sources confirmed two known instances apprehended at the border. So how many others made it through? How many other terrorists have made it through, or known security risks have made it through? I've got some questions on that. I mean, I really don't want to experience anything here domestically. We know, what is it? We've had how many just per day? I mean, there've been like thousands per day that have been coming across, but at least two known. They told that to Griff Jenkins, who's with Fox. He's at the border, giving Bill Malugin a little bit of a break, who I think has lived there under a bridge for who knows how long. That's, I'm telling you, it is, that I, is a major problem. Major problem. I wanted to play this audio soundbite for you as well. This is audio soundbite 18. This is a this is one of my favorite soundbites. Let me set this up. So you have this Canadian conservative whose party is challenging the Trudeau socialist. And he has casually smacked down. You know, he's talking to this like far left journalist who's trying to ask him questions and trying to do this. Journalist sucks, by the way. It's the worst journalist ever. He can't ask this guy a question because the guy's name is Pierre Poilievre. And Poilievre apparently really does intimidate this journalist. This journalist, you can hear the nervousness in his voice as he tries to ask this question. But this Pierre Poilievre is just, he's munching on an apple while this journalist, this is how everything should be handled. This Poilievre guy is a whole mood. Watch this and listen if you're not watching the simulcast.
On the topic, I mean, in terms of your sort of strategy currently, you're obviously taking the populist pathway.
What does that mean?
Well, appealing to people's more emotional levels, I would guess. I mean, certainly you tap very strong ideological language quite frequently.
Like what?
Left wing, you know, this and that, right wing. They, you know, I mean, it's that type
I
of ideological thing.
I never really talk about left
but
or right.
Anyways, a lot
I
of
don't really believe in that.
Okay, a lot of people would say that you're simply taking a page out of the Donald Trump book.
Like, which people would say that?
Well, I'm sure a great many Canadians, but.
Like who?
I don't know who, but...
Well, you're the one who asked the question, so yeah. You must know somebody.
Okay. I'm sure there's some out there, but anyways, the point of this question is, I mean, why should Canadians trust you with their vote, given, you know, not just the sort of ideological inclination in terms of taking the page of Donald Trump's book, but
what are you
also
talking about? What page? Can you give me a page? Give me the page. You keep
in terms of turning things quite dramatically in terms of Trudeau and the left wing and all of this. I mean, you make quite a, you know, it's quite a play that you make on it. So I'm
not
just
sure.
Wondering.
I don't know what your question
okay.
is.
Okay, then forget that. Why should Canadians trust you with their vote?
There's a question.
Common sense.
Okay.
Common sense for a change. We're going to make common sense common in this country.
You know
we don't
what,
have.
You know what fall's hot new accessory is? The it accessory for fall of 2023 is an apple. This guy's hysterical. I love it. And I love the way his voice sounds. It's almost like a sitcom. That was like a sitcom. There's just certain things that happen so organically, so perfectly that, and that's one of them. So this guy up here, and I'm sure I'm butchering his name, Poilievre, he just, you can hear him eat the apple. You can hear him take a bite and he's like, yeah, which ones? I don't believe any of that. I don't believe in that. And then the reporter's like, oh, okay, well, just forget that then. So here's my basic, you know, question. Gosh, that is a whole mood. But that's the hot new accessory for fall 2023. An apple. I want to know what kind of apple that was. It looked like a good apple. Yeah. Golly, that was so great. Save this for forever. I just, because there's so many clips I just want to take out and just, yeah. Like what people, what page? Can you give me the page? So great. That's the most aggressive Canadian I've ever seen. You know?
Right.
That's the most aggressive. Is it because I don't, even when they're like fighting with truck convoy, they're still kind of polite in a way. Even when they're trying to take away people's rights, they're not. It's funny.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe Biden just announced $100 million of your taxpayer dollars going to the Gaza Strip. They say it's humanitarian assistance. We know Hamas is going to commandeer that money and Hamas is going to use it to advance terrorism. I say no U.S. tax dollars to the Gaza Strip. We still have hostages being held by Hamas. There are American hostages being held by Hamas. How are you funding them when they're holding Americans as well as others hostage? I challenge every Republican running, step up to the plate, join me in opposing Biden's $100 million gift to Hamas.
Good. I hope they do. I hope everybody does. Everybody should. I hope the president talks more about this tonight. This is a serious issue. I've heard so much about this from all of you out there, because there is not, there is, and I went back and I was looking at whenever aid has been sent, resources. I mean, there is not a single example of this, any kind of aid being handed over to Gaza that Hamas doesn't get its hands on and takes. It's every bit. So this is just funding. It's just funding this. And no one has any responsibility to do this. Hamas had a responsibility to its citizens. For everyone who is complaining that, well, Israel needs to turn this on or do this, you know, that's Hamas's responsibility to do this for its citizenry. It's not anyone else's responsibility. You know, Hamas is the governing authority. Why haven't they done their job by their people, by the people that they were elected to represent and serve? Why haven't they done it? You know, for water, for sewage, for food, for anything. I mean, how they've been in power over there themselves running. There's no occupation since 2005. They had elections in 2006. They won. So why is it everyone else? Why is it the responsibility of everyone else? Why? I got questions. So we will see on that. Now, tomorrow we'll follow the House stuff. Kevin McCarthy and apparently Matt Gaetz got into a screaming fight. I'm done with both of them right now. Every single time one of them gets in front of a reporter, they badmouth the other one, and I'm just so done. I'm so done with both of these guys and their slap fights. So apparently they're screaming matches now. Now they're talking about it to the press. All right, today in stupidity, Kane.
All right, it's Biden's State Department spokesman Matt Miller. He is out there talking about this very $100 million aid package going to Gaza. And this apparently is the official government position on this. Listen to this.
I think the concern the Israeli government has, and they've said this publicly, and they certainly said it privately to us, is that any assistance that goes in will be diverted once it's inside Gaza. That there's not an Israeli military force in Gaza. There's not a UN peacekeeping force in Gaza. The people with guns inside Gaza are Hamas. And so Hamas may try to divert this assistance and keep it from getting to the civilians who do.
Yeah.
It is
intended. That's what's going to happen. That's exactly what's going to happen.
We think that's a legitimate concern. We've made clear that this aid needs to go to innocent civilians and not Hamas. We're going to be watching very carefully.
Oh, they're going to be watching how it's carefully. Delivered. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, I feel better. Do you?
Feel better?
Yeah. No, not at all. Folks, we will watch the president's address tonight. We'll recap it. I'll send out a newsletter for you subscribers over at Substack. Have a great night. I'm back with you tomorrow.